The Old Testament reading this evening comes from the book of Exodus, the 24th chapter, beginning at the third verse. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the rules. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain, and 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel, who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient." And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading comes from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, the 11th chapter. "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord, we rise for the reading of the gospel. And the Holy Gospel comes to us according to St. Mark, the 14th chapter. "And on the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, 'Where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?' And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, 'Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, "The teacher says, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" And he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. There prepare for us." And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they were reclining at table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be sorrowful and to say to him one after another, "Is it I?" He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Picture yourself at that table in the upper room. Jesus is the host presenting the Passover feast. The 12 disciples are gathered together for this blessed meal. Da Vinci is standing there painting everything. No, not really. But you know, what a sense of peace and calmness, of normalcy, as the disciples prepare for the Passover feast with Jesus. This is a blessed tradition for them, something these people have done probably every year of their lives. It's been done the same way for generations, based on the first Passover when God led the Israelites out of Egypt. The food has been prepared the exact same way for hundreds of years. The same things have been said at the same point in the feast since long before anyone in that room was even born. It's comforting, kind of like knowing exactly how mom's potatoes are going to taste at Thanksgiving. In a week of tumult, a week that has been this emotional roller coaster, this is something comfortable, something predictable, something familiar and reliable, something that will give the disciples a sense of normalcy and balance. Until, that is, Jesus speaks. And suddenly everything that the disciples thought they knew was going to happen was changed. The bread of the Passover was to be presented in this way. During the meal, the host would give thanks to God, would break the bread and distribute it to everyone at the table, speaking of what the bread meant. It was a reminder of the bread from heaven given to Israel in the desert. It reminded the participants that they were to eat in haste, having no time for the bread to rise, because God came quickly to give them freedom during the first Passover. It was a reminder of God's everlasting love and grace as he miraculously provides for their needs. That's what was supposed to happen. But Jesus takes the bread, gives thanks, and says, "This is my body." That's not right. And it's not very appealing either. But he's not done. After supper, the cup of the future salvation is to be shared. This cup of wine represented the hope of the promised Messiah, that he would someday come and set Israel free. And what does Jesus do here? After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you." Do you think the disciples reverently nodded, crossed themselves, and eagerly drank of the cup? Probably not. This was weird. It was different from the way it was supposed to be, and what's more, it was shocking. I'm sure there were more than a few sideways glances exchanged, some mutterings of, "What is he doing? Did he forget how this is supposed to go?" And because they were human, even knowing that these gifts came from the Messiah, the Son of God himself, I'm positive that there were at least 12 people inwardly asking themselves, "This is your what?" Because Jesus says, "This is my body. This is my blood. Eat and drink." Our human nature is repulsed and confused by Jesus' gift in the sacrament of the altar. It's a gross idea. Cannibalism is rightly repulsive. And for Jesus to bring up such images during such a sacred and normal and comforting feast just seems utterly inappropriate. How are they supposed to enjoy the Passover, and how are we supposed to enjoy communion with those kind of images in our mind, the body and blood of Jesus? And so we try to rationalize it away, to make ourselves more comfortable. It can't be his body and blood. It must just represent it. I had someone one time call me on that and say, "Well, then do you believe that Jesus had hinges and a knob? Because he also said, 'I am the gate.' And so do you believe that he was a gate made out of wood?" Which is really a moronic argument, because which of us declared in our lives whether we would constantly speak either literally or figuratively? Context, my friend, context. But we still try to do that. We'll take anything to make sure that it can't be his body and blood. We focus on the memory part. Do this in remembrance of me. That we like. We can get along with that instead of this is my body. This is my blood. We deny that here at this altar we receive by our mouths the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We might speak the language of Luther that in, with, and under the bread and wine we receive the true body and blood of Christ, but in our hearts we're telling ourselves that we know better, that it's not really Jesus' flesh and blood, because that's impossible and it's gross. But to do that is to try to put a limit on God, try to make him more like us. But we do that all the time. When God's word makes us uncomfortable, we try to change it. We try to rationalize it to make it fit in better with what we know is true. The Bible clearly says in multiple places that God created the world in 6 days. But since science claims that the world evolved slowly over billions of years, we claim that God actually meant 6 epochs or 6 eras or 6 really incredibly long days, not what he clearly said, because that's more comfortable for us. When God's commandments say, "Thou shalt not," we claim that that was meant for those people long ago who didn't know any better and were much smarter and we can handle it and we know how this stuff actually works, and so we shall do whatever we shall please. In every instance where God's word confronts our lives or challenges our mortal way of thinking, we try to change God. Try to make him fit our ways, to put our comfort and our knowledge and our wisdom ahead of his holy word. We are very good at that, but it is so wrong to do that. God's word is truth. And despite what our culture says, truth does not change just because we don't like it or we want it to be something else. Despite our misgivings, despite our repulsion at the idea, when Jesus says, "This is my body, this is my blood," that's exactly what we receive at this altar. The very flesh and blood of the Messiah that walked among us. The flesh and blood that died on the cross, that rose again on Easter morning. That's what we receive because that's what Jesus Christ gives us. It's repulsive to our human nature. It's confusing to our human mind, but the word of God means what it says, and by his infinite power, it also makes it so. And that shouldn't be a surprise to us, because given the repulsive and confusing nature of the cross, why should the Lord's Supper be any different? The gift of the Lord's Supper, it is a participation in the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made at the cross. In our Old Testament reading, during the sacrifices, half of the blood was thrown upon the people to show that they were standing under that sacrifice, that it died in their place. Here we receive by our mouths the flesh and blood that he laid down in death on our behalf. And by eating and drinking his true body and blood, we are given the full benefits of his atoning sacrifice. And just like with the Lord's Supper, our shallow, sinful nature, it looks to the cross where Jesus died, and it is repulsed and it is confused by the idea that God would die in such a way. And our ego tells us that if we can't understand it, well, then it can't actually be so. The disciples, when Jesus clearly told them what would happen, they would go to Jerusalem, he would be betrayed and arrested, crucified and rise again on the 3rd day, what was their response? "Say it ain't so, Lord. That can't be. That will never happen to you because you're the man." They denied it when Jesus clearly told them it was going to happen. And still today, knowing what has happened, looking back and seeing it all after the fact, we ourselves even deny it while proclaiming it. There are so many Christians that sadly claim Jesus didn't actually die. That God pulled the old last-minute switcheroo and Jesus was watching from off stage. It wasn't really Jesus on the cross. It was a dummy or a patsy or just an illusion. They claimed that Jesus was maybe on the cross, but he was in a pain-induced coma, not actually dead. And he woke up in the tomb, slightly bewildered and weak, but still alive and somehow able to roll the stone away. Even for those of us who boldly proclaim that Jesus Christ, God himself in the flesh, suffered and died on the cross, we're still sinners, and we still have our doubts. We have our ways of rationalizing it, of cleaning it up, of making it fit with what we really know and what we actually want to believe. But for all our doubts, for all of our so-called enlightened analysis, there on the cross, God, the creator of the universe, infinite, without beginning or end, died. He gave his immortal and eternal life as a sacrifice for us sinners. He sacrificed his body to die in our place beneath the weight of our sin. He poured out his blood to atone for all of our wrongdoings. He died so that we might live, not just here on earth, but forever. Cleansed by his blood, washed by his sacrifice, we are forgiven. It's a repulsive and a confusing idea that God would die. It's one that we really can't understand, but that doesn't mean that it isn't so just because we don't get it. God's ways are not our ways, and his wisdom is far greater than ours. His power is far beyond anything we can comprehend. The cross, it's gruesome and offensive and confusing, and it's something that we can't actually understand, and yet it is the most important, the most glorious, the most simultaneously horrific and wonderful event of all time. And in the same way, while the Lord's Supper is offensive and baffling to our human wisdom, despite our misgivings, here at this altar, we receive the greatest gift ever. This is not some disgusting form of cannibalism, as some would accuse. It's Jesus Christ applying his sacrifice personally to your life. In the temple, those giving the sacrifice would eat part of the burnt offering, uniting themselves to it. And so too, we are united with Jesus Christ in his sacrifice. His death and resurrection, they're not just something that happened far off that we hope someday we can maybe see or reach or have brought to us. Through this blessed sacrament, we are personally, intimately, and eternally united with him in his death and his resurrection. His death to sin is our death to sin. His resurrection to everlasting life is our resurrection. His victory over sin, death, and the devil is our victory. Because Jesus Christ has come to us in the flesh, giving us of himself, even though we can't understand it. Not just long ago and far away, but here, tonight, and every time that we partake of this blessed sacrament. At the cross, Jesus Christ suffered and died for your sins. And at this table, you are united with him in that blessed atoning sacrifice. And so tonight, as you come to this table, all throughout your life, as you think about the words of Jesus Christ, "This is my body, this is my blood." Yeah, you're a sinner, and you might cringe a little bit. You might be a little put off by what Jesus says. You might try to change God's word to make yourself feel better and smarter and more enlightened. But the word of God endures forever, and his word is truth. "This is my body" means just that. That here at this altar we eat of the flesh of Jesus Christ. We become partakers in his sacrifice. "This is my blood" means just that. That we drink of the very blood which poured from his veins at the cross to win our redemption for us. It's unpleasant, it's impossible, it's offensive to our sinful human mind, but here, tonight, and forever, we receive the greatest gift of all as Jesus Christ gives us himself. Here we are united with Him for eternity. Here we receive the benefits of His sacrifice. Here, by His cross and by His empty tomb, you are forgiven of every one of your sins, and eternal life in heaven is yours. Thanks be to God. Amen.